A new poll found that 45% of Americans don't believe humans cause climate change. Stephen Colbert said it doesn't matter what you believe, it's true. That's like not believing that humans can cause pants pooping. It's just part of the natural cycle of my khakis. I'm going to leave them for my grandkids to deal with. This weekend, world leaders are gathering yet again to wear lanyards about global warming. At COP26, which is the 26th UN Climate Change Conference, Colbert said, 26th? Holy crap, this crisis is so old it could rent a car. Colbert switched topics to inflation, which has reached its highest rate in over a decade. Some are predicting the most expensive Thanksgiving in the history of the holiday, and Colbert said, and that's saying something, the first Thanksgiving cost Native Americans an entire continent. Great joke. Price increases will affect sweet potatoes, pie, the aluminum trays to hold turkeys, and even canned cranberry sauce as China limits steel production to reduce carbon emissions. What? You lied to us, Greta Thunberg? You told us fighting climate change would be hard, but you never told us the cost, a world without can-shaped towers of gelatinous red sugar plasma. Senate Democrats introduced a tax proposal targeting America's 700 richest people, billionaires. Fallon said, so that includes Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Flo, the progressive insurance lady. It's tough for billionaires. If you'd like to sponsor one, you can make a difference for just $34 million a day. You know, cash is tight for billionaires when their flights in space have to lay over in Cleveland. You know, I was thinking about this morning. If you asked me to rank the late night hosts in terms of like cool factor, probably Trevor first, then Kimmel, Colbert, and like Fallon fourth. And yet when I do this every day, the Fallon late night jokes tend to be the best ones. Here's another. Democrats scrapped the tax on billionaires and now they might tax millionaires instead. When they heard that, Kim and Kylie were like, yes, while Chloe, Courtney, and Kendall were like, no. Stephen Colbert, Senator Wyden wants to pay for the Biden agenda with something called the billionaires income tax. Now the details are a little complex. Let me try to explain it. Billionaires, there's this thing called taxes and you should pay any. The proposal only affects people with $1 billion in assets or those earning more than $100 million in income 3 years in a row. Okay, here's a simple way to see if it affects you. Take your spare super yacht to your third house that's on the private island shaped like your own head. Look in your garage. If there is not a spaceship in there, you're fine. Calling it a billionaire income tax was smart branding by the Democrats because Republicans are going to sound pretty out of touch if they oppose it, which they immediately did. Got some listening recommendations for you. I was checking out Inside Conan, that's a podcast, and their guest was Conan O'Brien. It was very entertaining, although I will say, so when I'm not doing this, my actual career is radio executive. One of the hosts laughing too much at their own jokes. And I knew sometimes I'll snicker here during the late night segment on the podcast, but this was just constant, like saying something and then laughing. I was taught many years ago by a nice man named Jay Clark. That's a no-no. Radio host, don't laugh at your own stuff. I also checked out the Late Show Pod, the Stephen Colbert podcast. That's just the audio from the TV show. It's just the audio from the TV show. I couldn't even get all the way through the monologue. Podcasting is not TV audio. I'm not mad that it exists, but it just wasn't for me. I bailed on that. It is Facebook Friday, where I ask you to help me grow the show. So if you could share something on your Facebook page, maybe from the Daily Comedy News Facebook group. I've been posting some things about Bobcat Goldthwait. We're going to talk about him today. Or if you want to share an episode, or if you just want to send a link and tell your friends that it's cool, I appreciate that. I'm loving this next story from the New York Times, your home for comedy news. BJ Novak's face, you know BJ Novak, Ryan from The Office. BJ Novak's face is on products worldwide. He's not sure why. An image of the actor has appeared on a mix of products from China to Uruguay. BJ Novak said, I'm too amused to do anything about it. The Times writes, for the last few years, any Swedes who purchased a bottle of Calvin Klein's Encounter cologne were probably greeted by the piercing gaze of an American actor. Same for anyone who purchased certain brands of face paint in Uruguay, electric razors in China, or knee-length ponchos in Europe. That face, BJ Novak, someone chose his picture and uploaded it years ago to a website where BJ Novak believes it became part of the public domain. Whatever the legalities, many companies have been using it for years. On Instagram, BJ Novak posted the pictures of himself on various product packages. He saved the images in a collection he called Modeling. He could not be reached for further comment. He's known about his double life as a model since 2014 when he posted a photo on Instagram of his picture on cologne boxes showing five sets of his eyeballs staring down Swedish shoppers. He joked at the time, I am hashtag blessed to announce the launch of my fragrance available now in a Swedish department store. From The Hollywood Reporter, a docu-series about the Blues Brothers is in the works. The yet-to-be-titled series will include as-yet-unseen materials. It'll dive into the history, music catalog, and the legacy of the characters, as well as the actors behind them and the friendship they shared. Dan Aykroyd said, "Much will be revealed that even I, as one of the originators, might not have been aware of. In the end, it will be all about the artists and their music." John Belushi's wife said, "As we continue Dan and John's original mission to share their passion for the music and foremost to celebrate the artists who created it, we expect this to be a significant historical and cultural investigation. Like I like to say, you'll watch. I'll watch the hell out of that." I'm on a Bobcat Goldthwait kick. Now, I have already recorded Saturday's episode. Come back tomorrow to hear about Bobcat vs. Jerry Seinfeld. It is so entertaining. Sometimes I record the episodes out of sequence behind the scenes. I like to goof off on the weekends and not sit in the basement talking to myself. So I record the weekend a little early. I usually do Thursday and Saturday as a pair and Friday and Sunday as a pair. So that's why I know what's on tomorrow. But man, Bobcat does not like Jerry Seinfeld, probably for good reason. So that's tomorrow. Today from The Guardian, Bobcat Goldthwait said, "There is no cancel culture," and he talked about his decision not to do the original Bobcat voice, you know, the that he used to do. He doesn't do that anymore. He said, "It was a decision I made. I went back on the road after directing the Jimmy Kimmel Show, and I wasn't looking forward to it. The voice didn't suit me, but I know people. They've worked hard all week, and they know what to expect, so I probably perpetuated it a little longer than I should have. I was in Nashville, and I actually have footage of me going out for the first time, knowing I just couldn't do the character. I have an okay set, but people in the audience were yelling, 'Do the voice!'" It's my, isn't it interesting that I just did that as my half-ass angry Jerry Seinfeld impression? "Do the voice!" Bobcat says, "It's my daughter's favorite heckle. People love to say, 'George Carlin couldn't do his act today.'" I should bust out Jerry again. "People love to say, 'George Carlin couldn't do his act today. What would we all say about this?'" Goldthwait says, "You know what Carlin would say? I know exactly what he'd say. He'd say something hilarious and cutting about your effing BS. There is no cancel culture. It only exists if you're a whistleblower or a victim. I prefer people who are organically funny in retrospect. I feel like that's why Robin Williams and I got close." Now listen to this next part. I wasn't hip to all this. Robin Williams was in a black comedy called World's Greatest Dad, in which he plays a frustrated English teacher devastated to find his son dead by autoerotic asphyxiation, at which point the dad forges a suicide letter to preserve some of the boy's dignity. I don't remember this movie at all. The dad's prose touches a public nerve, and before long, the grieving father has a falsified, full-blown literary phenomenon far beyond his control. Now, this takes a couple interesting turns here. The article says, "The themes of depression have caused some to conflate Robin Williams' character with the man himself." Bobcat said, "I get frustrated because Robin's character says, 'I used to think the worst thing in life was ending up all alone, but now I know the worst thing is ending up with people who make you feel alone.'" Bobcat said, "And then people on the internet confuse that with something Robin himself said, which couldn't be further from the truth. You'll see a stupid meme of him looking sad next to these words, and I'm like, hey, he didn't really say that." Now, that film, World's Greatest Dad, has apparently been the topic of conversation for similarities to the musical Dear Evan Hansen. When the musical about a teen faking a suicidal classmate's journal first gained traction, a friend notified Goldthwait about the oddly specific resemblance between the two. "I got a ticket and I go see it, and I was like, ah, this is fine. Though there's almost a line in the play lifted right from World's Greatest Dad, which I still believe was a coincidence, but at the time in the middle of the play, I went, 'Oh my God,' quite loudly. I wasn't doing it for laughs, it just came out. When my girlfriend Nora and I got to the intermission, I asked her what she thinks, and she said, 'Someone's got a lot of explaining to do.' One other thing is that in the commercial for the movie, I don't remember if this is in the play or not, but the school's mascot is the Bobcats. I have definitely wondered if there's someone out there messing with me." Bobcat's got a new documentary. It's called Joyride. We'll talk about that over the weekend, but it's out now if you want to watch it. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by the new podcast, Where the Living Meet the Dead. Been telling you about this all week. Spooky stories. It's Halloween, man. Get down with it. Raconteur Robert Edgley tells ghost stories in one of our favorite ghoulish cities. It's Savannah, Georgia. This guy's got the best voice, man. Robert has curated tales that are a mixture of myths, murders, and suspense that takes your imagination winding down the cobblestone streets of one of the oldest and most curious of cities, Savannah. It's called Where the Living Meet the Dead. If you're not going to get into ghost stories this weekend, I don't know what to tell you. Where the Living Meet the Dead, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, guess who we're going to talk about? That's right, Dave Chappelle. Every day, like, I'm trying not to talk about Chappelle all the time. It's why I do it in the second half of the podcast, because I don't want to swallow the podcast. But again, today, there's three articles I want to deal with. First, from The Hollywood Reporter, it's unclear what criticisms of the Chappelle special have done to shape opinions outside Hollywood. In a Hollywood Reporter poll conducted among 2,200 U.S. adults from October 19th through the 22nd, some 46% of the respondents said they had heard nothing at all about Netflix's defense of The Closer. Now, I have been going back and forth with a regular listener to the podcast in a private conversation, so I won't say who I was talking to, but that person knows who they are, and I'm not sure how many people are actually upset about Chappelle. And I'm not weighing in on right or wrong. I'm just looking at sheer numbers. Are people walking around going, Dave Chappelle has to be canceled? I don't think so. And I think even Dave himself is positioning himself like, oh, corporations won't touch me and nobody likes me anymore. And I'm not sure there's actually a thing here other than the media writing articles about it and me regurgitating the articles. I don't know. But I don't feel like my wife's not upstairs right now going, boy, I got to cancel Dave Chappelle. It was a comedy special. People watched it. It's been well discussed. We're now 3.5 weeks into it. But I'm not sure Dave Chappelle has actually been canceled, despite what even he might be saying. Caitlyn Jenner has spoken out in support of Dave Chappelle. Caitlyn tweeted, Dave Chappelle is 100% right. This isn't about the LGBTQ movement. It's about woke cancel culture run amok, trying to silence free speech. We must never yield or bow to those who wish us to stop from speaking our minds. And a long piece from the LA Times. Now, the byline goes to LZ Granderson. So I come with respect. I'm not sure if Granderson pronounces their name as LZ or Liz, but from LZ Granderson or Liz Granderson, again, I come in peace. There was a good 10-year stretch from 1981 to 1991 in which Eddie Murphy was arguably the most successful comedian on the planet, and he spent a significant chunk of that decade making fun of gay men, a decade, mind you, that also ran concurrently with the height of the AIDS epidemic. As hundreds of thousands of Americans, many of them gay men, were dying, Murphy was making a very good living mocking the community. To be fair, Murphy has since said he looks back on those jokes and cringes, and it's not as if he was the only funny man doing this. In fact, Bob Hope made an AIDS-related joke during the centenary rededication of the Statue of Liberty. He made the joke in front of the French president and his wife. They did not laugh. The Reagans did. Granderson writes, some of y'all think the LGBTQ community is made of a bunch of sensitive snowflakes, but in fact, even though some of the biggest celebrities in the world and the most powerful men on the planet were laughing at our deaths, we still made it to the other side. At one point, during Murphy's 1987 comedy special Raw, he talked about the criticism he was receiving from the LGBTQ community for his homophobic jokes and suggested he was the victim. I don't want to read this next quote. It has a slur that begins with an F. I'm going to say the word bleep. The quote, it's nothing like having a nation of bleep looking for you. I can't travel the country freely no more. I can't go to San Francisco. They got 24-hour homo watch waiting for me at the airport. Why am I bringing up all this now, writes Granderson? Because Dave Chappelle posted a video on Instagram this week, and one of his lines reminded me of Raw. In addressing the controversy surrounding his Netflix special The Closer, Chappelle said, it's been said in the press that I was invited to speak to the transgender employees at Netflix, and I refuse. That's not true. If they invited me, I would have accepted it, although I'm confused about what we're speaking about. I said what I said. Boy, I heard what you said. My God, how can I not? You said you want a safe working environment at Netflix? Well, it seems like I'm the only one that can't go into the office anymore. The point is, Chappelle attempted the same switcheroo that his idol Eddie Murphy pulled decades before. Mock the vulnerable, then play victim when called out for it. Please don't take this observation to mean that I want him canceled. I do not. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Chappelle is brilliant. That doesn't mean he bats 1,000. No one does. Murphy and Hope whiffed with their jokes about AIDS in the 1980s. Those jokes aren't outdated. To say that would suggest there was a point in time which was okay. It was never okay. It was just accepted, it no longer is, and guess what? Eddie Murphy's still able to make people laugh without having to mock people dying of AIDS. It's not Chappelle's job to be an ally, though I'm happy to hear he's not opposed to being one. It's not his job to inform his audience about the anti-LGBTQ laws that exist or the ones in the pipeline. As a comedian, his only job is to make us laugh, but I wonder whether he cares how he makes people laugh. Very good piece there, LZ Granderson in the Los Angeles Times. Hey, Roy Wood's special is on Comedy Central tonight, 10:30 Eastern. The special is called Imperfect Messenger, and the press release tells us Roy Wood Jr. bounces around the lighter issues affecting our society like police reform, prison reform, the Capitol riots, Black Brits and civil rights movies, white allies, and of course, Brazilian butt lifts. Please feel encouraged to participate in the Facebook group. It is called Daily Comedy News Podcast. I want to hear you guys. I want to hear your opinions on Chappelle. If you see a funny comedy clip, post it on the page. Go back and forth. Argue. We can argue about Chappelle, not Chappelle. What's your favorite sitcom? Who are you listening to? What do you want me to talk about? What did I get wrong on the podcast? All that. That's what the Facebook group is for, Daily Comedy News Podcast. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Tomorrow is pretty good. Like I told you, I already recorded, but the Bobcat Goldthwait, Jerry Seinfeld stuff is delicious. And Sunday will be normal, and I can tell you that because I'm going to record it right now. See you tomorrow.